Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, we want to turn that down. I'm Andrew Mellon, and I'm a professional organizer, the author of Unstuff Your Life, Kick the Clutter Habit, and Completely Organize Your Life for Good, and I'll be your host for the next 4 weeks, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right here. You can find me on the web at www.virgoman.com for more tips, tools, and resources to help you get organized once and for all. We've got a great show in store for you this morning. I'm really excited for you to meet our guests. But before we get to them, I want to take a few seconds for some housekeeping. This show is brought to you by Rare Bird Radio, a division of Rare Bird Lit, the brainchild of founder Tyson Cornell. Rare Bird Lit is a Los Angeles-based literary PR, marketing, and events firm that specializes in maximizing all efforts of book promotions. You can find them on the web at www.rarebirdlit.com. We're delighted that they believe in Unstuff Your Life and its message of liberation from stuff, so thank you, Rare Bird, for this opportunity to share the message with listeners everywhere. If at any time during the broadcast you'd like to join in our conversation, and I certainly hope you will, you can either text us your questions on the show's homepage or feel free to call in. The number's listed on your screen, and here it is as well, 626-414-3413. Any questions for me or for one of our guests, just give us a call. And now to the good stuff. I certainly hope, if you haven't already, that you'll pick up a copy of Unstuff Your Life and read it. And our guest this morning will hopefully speak more to its usefulness and applications. But I want to share with you this fundamental concept, as it's the foundation of all the work I do with people, and it's so powerful and so simple that it alone will transform your relationship with stuff. And that's my organizational triangle. That triangle obviously has three legs. That's what makes it a triangle. And those legs are one home for everything, like with luck, like, and something in, something out. One home for everything means exactly that, that everything has one home and only one home. Now, that home is not universal, meaning the home for your keys is not the same as the home for my keys. But each of our keys does have a home. So the keys are either in their home or they're in your hand being used to unlock something. It's that simple. Like with like just means that all similar items live together. So all of your office supplies live together, all of your cleaning supplies live together, all of the dishes, the linens, your clothes, etc. If you want to know exactly how much of anything you actually have in your home or office, bring it all together with its brothers and sisters, and you may be surprised at what you discover. Oh, I actually do have 9 staplers, and there's only 3 people working in the office. Now, something in, something out is all about achieving stuff equilibrium. I don't have an agenda around what stuff equilibrium looks like for you. Everybody gets to determine that themselves. I will say that have enough of everything that serves you and nothing that doesn't. So if you have room for 150 pairs of shoes in your closet, by all means, have 150 pairs of shoes. Go for it. But when you get that 151st pair, it must be because one of the first 150 pairs are now ready to be retired. And speaking of shoes, there's a great organization for the recycling of shoes. It's called Souls for Souls, and you can find them on the web at www.soulsforsouls, and that's spelled S-O-L-E-S, the number 4, S-O-U-L-S.org. Finally, a great place to pass along footwear we're done with. Please check them out. And now to our guests. These women have changed my life, literally. They're all members of a private Facebook club discussion that's built around their working through Unstuff Your Life. They came together after founder Stacey Edwards Bubelis posted a notice on Dave Ramsey's website. For those of you who don't know Dave, he's the live debt-free guy, and he has a great message. Other members with us this morning are Lindsay Drake, Shannon Mitchell, and Joanne Roby Perkins. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, ladies.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Andrew.
Why don't you introduce each of yourselves to the listeners and tell us where you live. You don't need to give us your address of the city that you're in.
I guess I'll go first. This is Stacy. As Andrew said, I'm the culprit behind the Facebook group. A little bit about me. I live in Buford, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And a little bit about my family. It's me, my husband. I have 2 girls, ages 2 and 4, and I am due in a month with girl number 3, and we have 2 very large dogs. So that should give you some idea of what my house is like.
Excellent. Lindsay?
Okay, I'll go. Yes, Lindsay. This is Lindsay Drake. I'm from Austin, Texas. I have one daughter, 8 years old. We love Austin. We have a dog and a grumpy cat, and we're so excited that Stacy started this group, and we've been having a great time with it.
Excellent. Shannon?
My name is Shannon Mitchell. I have four kids, and only two live at home. One of them is married, and the other one's away at college. Three daughters, one son. So I wound up with three girls worth of mess, and then a boy who makes messes totally differently. We live near Tampa, Florida, and we live in a really big house that we moved to accommodate the fact that we homeschool, and then we both work out of the home. I run a nonprofit for birth, birthaction.org, and my husband works from home for his business, so we have a lot of stuff in one house, and we're trying to do a lot of things out of it. So.
Great. And our last guest is Joanne Perkins.
Hi, Andrew. I'm Joanne. I live in Columbia, Missouri. I'm a single parent. My son is grown and married, and my daughter is grown and in the process of getting married. We're planning her wedding for September. I have an 1,800-square-foot house and a lot of stuff that I've accumulated through the years that I've been going through. So this has been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Excellent, excellent, great. Well, welcome, welcome. So I'd like to begin by asking you, Stacy, how did you first learn about the book Unstuff Your Life?
I knew that one was coming. Really, honestly, I don't remember exactly how I found it, but I know I had been, through the years, I've tried so many different ways of getting our house in order. My husband and I got married in 2002. And shortly thereafter, we moved from a small apartment to a big house in a very big hurry because we closed early on the house so we could get out of the apartment. So all of our stuff came with us. A year later, we moved from Orlando to an even bigger house. Again, a fast move, and all of our stuff came with us. So lots of boxes, lots of just clutter that we didn't need. And so I'd tried several different books. I seem to be the person that's always looking for a book to solve my problems. So I tried the Fly Lady Method, which is pretty good, but my life can't revolve around shining my kitchen sink. And just nothing I had seen had ever worked for me. So finally, in about January or February, I was sitting in the middle of my family room looking at all of the stuff on the floor going, okay, something's got to give. And I think I went on Amazon and was just looking at different books and things. I'd gotten a couple out of the library that just didn't really speak to me. And then I saw yours and I thought, well, that's one I haven't seen. So I put it on hold at the library, and once it came in, I read the first few pages, and I'm like, I'm either going to love this guy or I'm going to hate him. but I went out and bought the book right away. And as you've seen on our group, a lot of us say we have this love-hate relationship with you, Andrew, and we mean it from the bottom of our heart. It's really the book has really helped us. But that's how I found it. I was on Amazon, and I think I was looking at other books, and yours popped up, and one of those readers who bought this also bought such and such, and it was in there, so I clicked on it and liked what I saw, and it had some really good reviews. And that's what makes Amazon so great, is that you can read what other people think about whatever it is you're looking at. And it just sort of fell into my lap, I guess you could say, and I'm really glad that it did.
Yeah, so am I. That's great. Thanks. And then, so tell us just a little bit, if you would, about we got the story of the two moves and the just kind of packing up stuff and dragging it with you, which is very common. I hear that a lot at workshops and seminars, that people, you know, move things. And I think other folks on the book discussion at Facebook as well have shared that they've, you know, it's just, there's always that thought that it's easier to just grab everything and move and sort on the other side. But of course it isn't. But you know, in the moment when you're desperate and you're facing a move, it's hard to think clearly about preparing well for it. You just kind of put your head down and throw yourself at a move. So what was it that, Stacy, that got you, what was the breaking point this time when you discovered that really you, something needed to change, and that you posted on Dave's website and put out the call to find some compatriots to work through the process with you?
Well, I found out in October of last year that we are expecting our third child, and then we found out it was another girl, and I thought, oh, dear God, there's going to be so much pink stuff in my house. And I was really, at the time, I was just feeling so overwhelmed with having, you know, a toddler and a preschooler and trying to live our lives, and realized, gosh, you know, when this baby comes in July, we're going to be home a lot. And I don't really like to be home because there's just, it's not organized. It's not, it's just a stressful, it was a stressful place for me to be. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to bring baby into this. And the Dave Ramsey community is, for those of you who don't know, it's mytotalmoneymakeover.com. I got to give him a little plug. And it's a great support for financial concerns, but he also has, his forum has got all kinds of financial investing, getting out of debt, saving for the future stuff, but also there are non-money related forums. And they have what's called a frugal living section of the board, which covers everything from how to eat and live frugally to decluttering to cleaning to pretty much anything you can think of that's about, you know, kind of simplifying your life and living more simply, I guess. I knew that for me, I needed some sort of support system outside of the family. I'm home with my kids, and my husband works. He doesn't travel very much or anything, but he does work during the day. I knew that if I was going to get my house in order before this baby came, I knew I needed some people to sort of be accountable to.
Great.
And
the rest of you, why don't you, if you can share with the listeners, so Stacy posts something to the Dave Ramsey website. What happens for each of you that this strikes a chord for you and you decide this seems like something that could actually work for me? Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Sure. This is Lindsay. Shannon,
okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lindsay. I should say that one thing about Stacy posting was that really, truthfully, I think that's what's missing in most of our lives. Being a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean you're always at home, but it does mean that it's very hard to have relationships and things that are offline in your real life when you have more than one child and you're very busy or you have a job that's very busy or whatever else. It's hard to find that kind of outside of accountability of somebody else in your world who's doing the same thing you're doing. And I know that for me personally, being able to go on there and just basically, sometimes it is talking to myself, being able to post and saying, I'm doing this today, and post and post and post, and know that when other people get off work or they're not busy or whatever, so come back and reply or give me ideas or say, you know, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. And that's really missing in my real life because the people in my real life are busy looking at me tearing out all of their closets and going, what are you doing? So it was great for the accountability portion.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Somebody else has something that they wanted to say?
This is Lindsay, and kind of what prompted me to join Stacy. I've known Stacy through Dave Ramsey for a couple of years now. I had just finished my final year of school, so I graduated, moved again, yet again, for the the third or fourth time in 5 years, and I just had stuff. I was in the biggest house that I've ever lived in. I'm renting, and it was just stuffed. All these rooms were full of boxes. And then my mom died, and I had all her stuff come into the house. And I knew I had to do something, and I needed support from other people in order to get through a pretty emotional time with losing my mom and also having just, you know, finally stopped moving for school for the first time in almost 10 years. So having the group has been incredible. And it's probably the only reason that I'm still going and I haven't thrown
that's
up
great.
In my hands and just ignored the clutter in the other room.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And Joanne, anything you want to add?
Well, for me, I was looking at planning for empty nest syndrome to sink in. So I was going through my house thinking, when my daughter moves out, what am I going to do with the rooms in my house? And what all is still here that she's not going to take with her? You know, when you have children, you have craft supplies and you have a lot of extra things that I really won't use once she's moved out. And
mm-hmm.
So for me, it's going through and saying, okay, this room will become an office. These items I don't need anymore. I don't need 14 bottles of shampoo. I don't need, you know, bookcases full of books that I don't read. And just kind of reorganizing, my entire household based on who's going to be here and what is it that's actually going to be needed.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So this is, I think, an excellent point that you've all brought up, which is something that when I teach these workshops and work with folks in public settings as opposed to when I'm working one-on-one with either a company or a client, is the accountability, the public accountability. I'm teaching a 4-week course right now, and I'm really encouraging those students to use the forum on my website as a way to stay accountable to each other in the class and also to me as their teacher, but really to themselves and to their classmates, so that they get out of that vacuum of isolation. I think it's so much harder to make these kinds of changes in your life when you're trapped sort of between your own two ears, and it's much harder to find that motivation. And when you can rely on other acquaintances, even strangers, to provide that motivation for you, that somebody's expecting you in a good way, not, you know, it's not a bad sort of guilty, shamey kind of expectation, but somebody's expecting you to do something that you said you were going to do, and they're eager for you to succeed at doing it, and you've got that sense that there's a bunch of anonymous and not so anonymous cheerleaders out there waiting for you to take the next step. I think it really is a powerful tool in helping people to unstuff their lives.
Well, Andrew, this is Shannon. I really have to say that for me, it's also something that, you know, it's almost like being a serial unclutterer. The behaviors of my family, like what Lindsay said about her mother passing away, I've shared on the list. When my family, when somebody passes away, you just take all of their stuff, stick it in a box, and you keep all of it. So in my family, I'm basically the family historian, and I'm trying to go through basically about 60 to 100 years worth of family history, photos, stuff, literally still clothes and things like that that I've been having to go through. And as I was doing that, you know, I was having to deal with my own stuff, and I'm literally, after having been grown by these people, it's almost a hoarder mentality. It's hard for me to throw things away. It's hard for me to go through and say, I don't need this. It's still that, what they call a depression era thing, where I might need this someday. And with my children growing up and moving out as well, it's hard for me to look at things and go, oh, I don't need kindergarten level homeschooling stuff anymore. I don't have any kindergartners. I still hang on to those things. It's really hard for me to do that. Well, my family's watched me do this over and over and over. And when I find new books or new methods or try to find something that really works for me, and it hasn't really worked for me. And so my family gets tired of the, oh, God, now she's doing this again. And so when you're in that kind of hoarding mentality or that kind of serial uncluttering, it's also very hard to expect your family to support that, because all they're thinking is, great, now she's on another cleaning kick. They're not thinking that you're trying to actively find something that works for you and change your life, change what's going on in your head, change how you feel about this stuff.
Right. That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's not great. It's not great that the family, it is that sort of the boy who cried wolf syndrome, is that people have that sense of, oh, this is another fad of hers. She's going to get tired of this. And then our lives are going to be topsy-turvy, and we're going to be no better off for it.
Yeah, my family actually told me, when I asked them last night your questions, I looked at my 12-year-old daughter, and I said, well, what did you think about this? And, you know, what was the process to you? And she goes, well, it was actually kind of annoying at first, but you've gotten a lot done. And my husband said that it was extremely intrusive. He said it was really hard for him because he's actually one of those people who's very, very neat about how he does everything. Everything in his office has a place. And so for him, for me to go in and drag every single thing out of the closet, to take pictures, drag every single thing out of the closet, post it on the internet for strangers to see, and then for me to sit down and rework the entire closet was very hard for him. But he said this morning, he says, but you can't argue with the results. It worked.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yep.
That's excellent. So, well, that's excellent. And so, if we have a caller on the line from actually Joanne's area code, so why don't we bring her on the phone for a second and let her ask a question, and then I've got some more questions for you gals, but I'd like to hear from this caller.
Sure.
Hello? just waiting. I think the producer's going to bring her on the call.
Okay. Great.
Hi. Hi there. Hello? Oh. I'm getting a message. We're not sure where she is. Okay, well, hopefully if she's out there, she'll call back in the meantime, we'll continue the conversation and hopefully she'll come back.
Okay.
Excellent. So we're talking about the serial unstuffing and breaking that pattern. So Shannon, why don't you, if you can start this conversation for us, why don't you tell us what was different about this time? What made this different from all of the other attempts?
Well, I really have to give props to Stacey on that. It really did feel different the way we were doing it, working through the book together. Doing a book discussion was something I've actually never done before. And I'm like her, I can find a book to solve anything. So I really felt like that really did help, having the accountability, having a place to go to talk to people about the exact same things I was going through. But I also felt like I was really surprised, excuse me, as I read through the book. I've read lots of books. I've done Fly Lady. I've done all of those other things. And nothing, I didn't want to be told, throw all your stuff out. If you don't use it, you don't love it. I mean, I've got 15 years worth of research and I'm supposed to pitch it? I don't think so. So I loved the fact that the book, as I went through it, it really did allow for a visual person to set up their own way of doing things. And the like with like and the one home thing really did appeal to me. I was surprised by what I realized was like other things. And then when I put them in that place, it made so much more sense. And then with the, you know, everything has a home, I was like, well, where does this belong? Where is this going to live? If I move tomorrow, does this even have a place, or is this just one more box in my garage? And it allowed me to free some things out to other places, and not have to sit there and stare at them and go, okay, I need to have this. And for me, really, truthfully, what's really worked for this was that I just was able to talk about it. It's something where I can actually share how I'm feeling about some of the things that are going on. I can share how I feel about, you know, getting rid of specific things, or share how I feel about, why do I have this ticket from Auburn? Well, because back when I was at Auburn, they didn't have any parking spaces and everybody had a ticket from Auburn. To me, that was the epitome of my school experience at Auburn. Even though I made straight A's, it was that little ticket that made me remember student life. It was that little ticket that made me feel like I was back in school. So if everything was being driven emotionally for me, I needed a way to process the emotions back out. And something about the process of the book really helped me do that.
That's great. Anyone else have a comment about that? Or Lindsay or Joanne, have you tried previously to get organized or unclutter your lives and had varying degrees of success?
Absolutely. Yeah. Joanne, do you want to go ahead? I could talk for an hour.
No, go ahead, Lindsay. It's okay.
I won't talk for an hour. I've absolutely tried other systems. Ever since I graduated school, I stopped school in May, and then I finished the licensing exam in November, or passed it in November, but finished it in July. And ever since then, July, I've been trying to find organization in my life as I launch into this new career. And so once I, you know, was back in my own space, and I was finally out of storage, I looked around at all the stuff that I've been hauling around with me. I mean, I had at least 6 boxes of paper that I have moved from 2 different houses, and I've never looked in them. And so I had tried Fly Lady also. I've tried this one book, I don't know, it's called Getting Organized. And my mom's been over so many times before her death, sitting there going through my stuff with me. And it never clicked, because I never really looked at the very first chapter of your book, Andrew, is the questions that really go to the heart of your values versus your stuff. And once I sat down and did and went through those, I just had a revelation about, wow, you know, I'm really holding on to all this clutter in case of what? And so I've been able to go through and really let a lot of stuff go. I've shredded, you know, a huge recycling bin full of stuff. And what was funny, Andrew, is that I was tweeting quotes out of your book with my Kindle. And my stepmom was reading those and loved them so much that she bought your book and has started the process also.
Oh, that's great news. That's great. Excellent. I think, Joanne, you had something you wanted to throw in there?
Yes. I've tried other systems as well, and I would find myself being able to take pieces of them and have that piece work, but not an overall life change for me. For example, I was able to color organize my clothes and have, you know, short-sleeve blouses, long-sleeve blouses, dress pants, casual pants, things like that organized in my closet, but no way to really organize my household. And so when we started this, one of our early chapters was on organizing the kitchen. And I thought, this is going to be a breeze. I'm a type A person anyway. I'm just going to go through, because my kitchen's pretty much already organized. And when I went through your book and you said, take everything out and put it on a counter or put it on a table and put all the like with like, and then think about your kitchen and zones for your kitchen, a beverage area, maybe a breakfast area, things like that. I started going through and took all the items out of my cabinets and thought, oh, my gosh, first of all, I don't have enough space to put it all out. But then when I put like with like, it really started to click with me. When I'm baking, I don't need to go to four different cabinets to get the mixer and the measuring cups and mixing bowls. It can all be in one place. To make it easy. If you're going to bake something in my house, you go to this cabinet. That's where everything is at. And if you need to make coffee or tea or get a flavored drink packet for your bottle of water, it's all in this section. And if you want pasta, it's all over here in this pantry. And so having this group helped me stay on track with each week's chapter. And the way that you taught me not only to get rid of things, we all know if you don't use it, you should get rid of it or put it in a place of honor or something, but actually how to organize those items and what makes sense, what system of putting them together makes sense for me and what works for me was incredibly helpful.
Oh, that's great. Great. And Stacy, you haven't had a chance to talk about this. Can you share a little bit about it for us?
Sure. Really, what I was thinking about this last night, actually, as I was thinking about this call today. And like they've all said, having the accountability of other people has really changed things for me. And my the biggest thing for me that has changed has been your one-in, one-out philosophy. I mean, yes, having a home for everything is huge. But one in and one out, even my kids know now that when we go to the store, if we're going for a trip to buy them whatever, they know that something's coming out. Even the two-year-old says, I take it out of my closet, Mommy. You know, if I bring home an outfit for her or whatever, I take it out of my closet, and she'll go, you know, she doesn't get it to that extent. But she knows that, you know, you bring something in, you take something out. Now, they have no concept of how much of their excess toys and stuff have left our house because they don't think about them. And that was the biggest thing for me, I think, was realizing that just because Grandma bought them XYZ a year ago, or just because Aunt so-and-so might come over and might wonder what happened to whatever, it's not important. What's important are the things that they are spending time with and the things that actually enrich their lives, not just the plastic stuff that's in my basement playroom from floor to ceiling. My one success story, I'm actually at the beach in Destin, Florida right now, and I have to say we walked in to the condo, and the first thing my husband did was he found a home for his keys. that was my success story because we have a two-car garage. Half the garage is taken up with, you know, pretty organized toys and stuff for the kids. The other half, my van is in there, and usually my keys live in the ignition of my van, which whether or not that's a good thing remains to be seen, but that's where they live, you know, whatever. His keys have always, always been a problem because if I have to run out and run a quick errand, I'll take his car because that way then he has the van with the car seats for the girl. And I kept saying, I said, you know, honey, this book I'm reading, it talks about having a home for your keys and your wallet, and you know how whenever I need to use your car or whenever it's after work or and you need to go back out, you can never find your keys because they'll go upstairs with you in your pocket or whatever. So he said, well, that's fine. Just set it up and we'll figure it out. So I set up a little bowl in our house for him to put his keys in. And he did it. I had to move them there every once in a while and remind him. But it's been, you know, it's been several months. And no lie, we walked into the condo and he goes, oh, there's a little bowl on the counter. That's where my keys are going to go. And I thought, okay, he gets it. This is wonderful. So, but I will say, you know, as far as having the accountability of these other women, there are, I looked at the group this morning, there are 29 of us who are walking through the process together. Like Lindsay said, the first couple of chapters where you ask those questions, I was really, I don't want to say resistant to doing that, but it's like, oh, yeah, I know what's important. Well, no, when you sit down and I don't have the book with me to list off any of the questions, but anybody who's read it knows what I'm talking about. To actually sit down and write down the answers to those questions, I was like, okay, this is what I really feel is important. You know, my family and my children and my extended family are important to me. And as I was going through this process, I remember thinking, I know that my children are not going to remember growing up in a perfectly spotless, clean, uncluttered house. They will remember the things that we've done with them and the family time that we've had and all those special things. But in order for me, and that's always kind of been my excuse as to why my house is the way it is, or was the way it was, because it's gotten a lot better. What I realized is that the mental block for me to getting to be able to sit down and relax and enjoy that family time is this overwhelming sense of, oh, my gosh, there's so much to be done. Instead of sitting down and reading a book with my child, I should be vacuuming or decluttering or getting rid of this or getting rid of that or, you know, carving a path to their bed through all the crap on their floor so that they can get to bed at night. And now I don't have to do that, and I can really walk into my house and I know that the first floor of my house is done. And we can sit down and have a good time together, and I don't have that overwhelming sense of doom that, you know, the world's coming to an end because, you know, the floor's not vacuumed or whatever. And so that has really, you know, as everybody has said, you've changed our lives, but you've changed my life and made my, I have to say, you've made this pregnancy much less stressful for me because while I still have a lot to do in the next few weeks, I know that I can set out a plan and get it done relatively quickly once, you know, I set my mind to it. So nice to have a system in place.
Well, that's great. That's great feedback. Thank you. I'm so glad that the book has been helpful in that way for all of you. So that's an interesting thing that you've all brought up, which of course is one of the core points of the book, is getting on the other side of the organization. And again, when we think about that organizational triangle and something in, something out, achieving stuff equilibrium, it's really important to me, and I'm delighted that message resonates with all of you, that the idea of getting organized is really to get to the other side of it. It shouldn't be a lifelong process. I mean, there will be, you know, if we're looking at a bell curve, I mean, there's going to be a time, if you're cleaning up historic clutter, where it's actually going to take you more time than it used to take you because you're trying to live your life and clean up a mess. But on the other side of cleaning up that historic mess and then having a home for everything and understanding what it is that you have and being realigned or, you know, attached to your core values in a powerful and primary way, you can really get on with the stuff that matters to you. Because, I mean, I would never want anybody to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, reconciling their checkbook because it in and of itself was a fun thing to do. Or, I mean, it's a means to an end. So if you can all talk about, as you've moved through this process and time has opened up for you, what that's meant for you, you know, because that's the sweet spot. When you now know where your car keys are, so you don't have to lose those 10 minutes in the day trying to find them, you can really get to the stuff that, that excites you and feeds your spirit and allows you to, you know, to be a full and vibrant member of your family, of your community. So if you can talk about that a little bit, I think folks would really like to hear about that.
Okay,
well, who's going first?
Shannon, you go, because I started talking because there was a pause.
Okay. Well, I have to say that for me, everyone, it's funny, it's so strange thinking about strangers who don't know the journey, but at the same time, all the girls do. It's like for me, with all of my homeschooling stuff, I'm required by the state of Florida to keep a certain number of years' worth of stuff. Well, you know, once you've got four children and you have to keep a certain number of years of stuff and they're all in boxes, you got 12 boxes in the garage. And when I started digitizing those and putting them somewhere else, and that to me has been really key for me personally, is there's documents and historical things that I need to keep. So digitizing them and putting them somewhere where I can easily, in 3 seconds, type in homeschooling 2005 and get a list of things that I need, or, you know, math 2005, and get what I need, versus having to go through a box in the garage, that right there cuts out so much time. While it added a little bit of time for me to have to digitize those things, now, literally, my kids, as the joke is, my son earlier this week actually brought me his homework and got done and hands me 3 pieces of paper and goes, here, scan them. So now it's an instantaneous process. At the end of the day, it takes us 30 seconds, bam, bam, it's done, and I don't have boxes in the garage that I have to dig through to find things. I don't have boxes in the garage that I have to trip over to find other stuff. It's not piling up in my office to be sorted or boxed later. It's an instantaneous process. And I can't tell you how much time that saves me on a daily basis, because it's so freeing in the garage, for starters. And, you know, you've got so much more space to put things, you know, my Christmas ornaments aren't going to go anywhere. The homeschooling stuff's going to be thrown out in 3 years. You know, so it frees up space to put in things where they need to be or where I want them to be, versus having to find room to store more junk I don't need. And at the same time, it also frees up this idea for my kids and things. I can actually go in my office now. This process has taken my office from being, in the last 3 months, this process has taken my office from being a place where you had to step over things and around things and couldn't actually use any of the counter space in it, to being a place where I can literally walk in, it's an in-and-out process, I can scan something in 30 seconds, have it done and gone, and it doesn't live in my office, stacking up on my desk day after day after day, waiting for me to find, quote-unquote, enough time to go in there and clean off my desk. And that right there has totally changed how I feel about my office, because I think Stacy said it earlier, you get to the point where you walk into your own home and you hate your house. Because for me, every time I used to walk in my house, it was the expectations that my spouse had for my house being clean, or the expectations that, oh, I have to do this, this, and this for the kids. I'm extremely busy. I mean, we are never at home. We have so much stuff we are doing. We are all very busy people. And when you get to the point where every time you walk in your house, you can't relax, because all you can do is look around and see all of the, quote-unquote, things you need to be doing, it ruins what time you are with your family. It takes away time where you would go and do things with your kids, because you're like, I haven't cleaned the house. This area isn't organized and there's stuff piling up, so I need to spend the 3 hours cleaning that down to where I can do something with it. You can't go to the pool with your kids. The last 2 weeks, I've gone to the pool every afternoon for an hour and a half with my kids, and not just finding the time, but without guilt.
Wow. That's great. That's excellent.
It's like Shannon was just in my head. This is easy. But I would absolutely agree with everything she just said. And that's something that I've been seeing too. I'm nowhere near the end of the process. I've actually just restarted the process because I had so much going on in the last few months. I kind of dropped out and I've been back. But the release of the guilt is incredible. I'm actually in my office also. That's been my target room. Besides the garage with all my mom's stuff, the office has been my problem spot. And the fact that I have a desk in there that I can walk around, that I only have 12 boxes out of the at least 30 that were in there, I'm so excited. And I actually killed 3 of them yesterday. I got 3 more empty.
That's great.
Yay. I'm a mom. put everybody else before us. With moms, we put everybody else before us. So in this process, what we're actually doing is freeing ourselves.
That's right.
That's so good. It's so good that you are having the experience of it, and B, that it, you get it, that the light bulb goes on, and that, you know, one of the exciting things for me is, of course, that success breeds success. So every incremental step that you all have taken towards liberation from stuff, just it builds on itself in the same way that frustration or disappointment feeds on itself, and it becomes harder and harder to find the motivation when you feel kind of whooped and that you can't, whatever you're trying isn't working, it becomes that much harder to try something else. So it's so good to hear that the results are there, and that they're palpable. You can actually feel them and experience them in your day-to-day life. That's a great, I mean, I love that story, Shannon, just about being able to go to the pool for an hour and a half with your kids every day and not feel like you're stealing time away from something else. I mean, it's your time, obviously, but that it's clear that it's unencumbered, and you can actually go and have a good time and not be distracted by something looming that's waiting for you when you get home. I'm so pleased that the promise of the book is coming true for all of you in your lives. It makes me very happy. So.
Well, I think we're also teaching our kids. I was just going to say, I think we're teaching our kids how to deal with some of this stuff too, especially if you've been a serial clutterer in your whole life. You taught them one way. For me, it's really been about also teaching my children, this is easy. This doesn't have to be a frustrating process that burns your head and makes you feel like you don't want to do this. This can be easy.
That's great. That's great. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm working on now is I want to take this message and expand it so that we can actually use it as a tool for creating good habits for kids so that they can learn right away, you know, like with like, one home for everything, and they can start to manage their own stuff so that as they, you know, I mean, and you all know you have kids, as several of you said, you're never at home, you're running from soccer matches or hockey practice or dance classes or after school activities. I mean, there's any number of activities that require stuff, and teaching kids how to manage those things so that they can be responsible for them in a way that doesn't feel like a nasty chore assigned to them by a punitive parent, but it's actually being able to be responsible for their own stuff, because it makes their lives easier and it makes the experiences of what they're doing actually more pleasurable. I'm excited about being able to expand the information and package it in a way that we can really build some momentum with kids and youth.
Andrew, this is Stacy. I completely agree with that. I grew up in the clean house. My mom did, no lie, everything for us. If we were sitting in the family room and ate a bag of chips, the minute the bag hit the table next to us, she would come over and pick it up and throw it away. And so for the past, you know, I have my oldest is four, and so for the past 4 years, I've kind of been living in resentment of that mentality, because I'm like, you know, she should be able to do this. She should be able to pick up things and take them to the trash. Well, now that the house is more together, my older daughter and I were talking about our trip to the beach, and I said, well, honey, why don't you go and let's go choose some clothes for you to bring. And at part of the very beginning of the process, I moved my 2 and 4-year-old girls into the same bedroom. And the women on the Facebook group helped me figure out how to do my closet. And, you know, there are 2 closets in that room, and that was a big deal for us. And we finally got it done, and, you know, got a lot of way to goes on the group. And it really is, you know, when you accomplish something, even as, you know, seemingly insignificant as putting your 2-year-old's clothes all in one place, big deal. But for this trip, I was able to tell my 4-year-old, okay, you need 3 sets of shorts and T-shirts, and you need 3 dresses. Why don't you go choose them, and then we can talk about it. And she came running out of her room, Mommy, I found this, and I found that. And I said, well, honey, you didn't find it. It's where it belongs. And it's amazing to me that, you know, it's like, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's where it belongs because we actually created a system and set up a plan. And you know, thanks be to God, we found the book. You know, my husband calls it the book. And I think I have to, the funniest, one of the funniest things that happened at the beginning of this process when we were all answering the questions and just getting started with the paper and the, you know, taming the paper and the going into our offices and assessing how we do bills and whatever. I think three or four of us actually lost the book in the process of uncluttering our offices. So it's amazing to me that, you know, my four-year-old is better prepared to handle her things within the context of our home and in the car, and she's just kind of become a little bit more of a responsible little person because of this. And my husband was the one who pointed that out to me the other day. He said, you know, she really, if you tell her, okay, Anna, pick up your princesses and put them away, she knows where they go because they have a place to be. And if any of you have ever been around a four-year-old who has princesses, they multiply like wet gremlins. So we have, you know, every Disney princess thing imaginable, but they all go in one place, and she knows that. And she knows if you ask her where is XYZ, she can go and find it for you. And because there's so much less, I don't know, mess, chaos, whatever you want to call it. And that, to me, what, to hear you talk about kids and making this presentable to them, it's so necessary because I didn't have that growing up. I just grew up in the house that was organized, and it was organized magically by whoever, you know, it was my mom.
Right.
I don't have that in me. I need to enable my children to do that for themselves because I don't have the, we'll call it OCD or whatever, but I don't have that. you know,
yeah, I don't have it.
Whether that's a good or bad thing.
That natural cleaning gene just ain't in me.
I think I got passed over with it too.
And I think that was one of the most important takeaway messages of this, is that really when you sit down and you don't look at it through your mom's eyes or your grandmother's eyes or other people's expectations, and I think a lot of cleaning systems do that. They look at it through the expectations of what other people want out of your house and or what other people want out of your life or what they think it is. This book really does allow you to sit down and go, okay, these are my priorities. This is what's important to me. And that's really cool. And with my son, I couldn't break into the system with him because he's a baby of four and he's always lived kind of cluttery and he's a very visual, very spontaneous person. So I actually had to start him on three things a day. It was literally, okay, go take out three things that don't fit and we'll put those away. And we'll give them to Goodwill and take out three stuffed animals you don't want anymore. Because if I had looked at him and said, we're going to go through all your stuffed animals today, I really think he would have had a panic attack. So I had to teach him to get rid of three things every day or clean three things every day or whatever else. And it took about 3 weeks. And 3 weeks later, his closet's organized. His stuffed animals are pared down. A lot of his toys he packed away in boxes. And once he got into the spirit of it, he was kind of like, you know, Mom, I don't play with any of this anymore. And I wound up with a box of stuff. So it wasn't something like I had to walk in there and become a drill sergeant in one day and change his life.
That's so good. That's great. Did somebody else have something they wanted to throw in there?
I was going to say I agree wholeheartedly. For me, the stress in my life has decreased more than I realized. I didn't even realize that my house was stressful to me. My garage took much longer than the week that we were going to spend on that chapter of the book. But I finished it several weeks ago, and last week my car was stuck in the garage. The garage would only open about 6 inches. And so, it's true. And so I pulled the cord and disengaged the little drive from it and couldn't lift the garage door. I was stuck at my house. So I remoted into my office after I called the garage repair company and started working because I didn't have to clean out the path in my garage for them to be able to fix the garage door. All they had to do was lift it. I backed out my car, and they could replace the spring. I didn't have to clear the way for them. So I got a lot more done. And when we're talking about this flowing in down to our children, it, for me, is also flowing up to my parents. My parents are Depression-era children, and my mother in particular collects a lot of things. And so she has gone through and said, now what are you doing, and how are you doing that? And one day I was on the phone with her while I was going through medications and organizing my medications and getting rid of old ones. She followed suit and did her medications and her linen closet. And now she's going through her office, which you can't walk into her office. It's a sewing room and an office, and it's stacked with boxes full of fabric and ribbons and all kinds of stuff. She started going through that. She's going through her shoes. Little by little, she is picking up in the same way and saying, why do I have this room if it's just full of things? I want to be able to use this room. And so it's flowing both directions for me, to the older generation as well as to the younger generation. And it's just been fantastic.
That's great. Well, as we wrap up, are there any last minute, any suggestions that you want to share with the folks that are listening in? Any last minute encouragements or words of wisdom you want to close with?
I think we all do. one of the critical things for me has been to have a group of people where you can share. So if you are out there and you're getting ready to start the book, or if you have the book and you haven't gotten it open yet, get some people around you that you can work through it together. One of the real fun things about the Facebook group style is that you can post pictures. And so I've been posting befores and afters as I've gone along. So I put the before up there, and then I'm like, okay, now I really have to get this done because I'm embarrassed by the state of that room. So then, you know, I can post my in progress and after shots, and that's been really helpful just to keep me going and motivated. So have a group, and then also have a place where you can share your successes.
Excellent.
This is Joanne. I agree with the group as well. For me, that's what's kept me going. When my garage is difficult and I'm in there day after day, a few hours here and a few hours there, it's this group that has kept me going and said, you can do it. I see your progress. Keep going. I would post intermittent photos. I see some floor space here, and get that cheer back and the support from somebody else saying, yes, I see your progress. Yes, you're doing great. And this is what I do to solve that problem. Or this is how I went through and organized that group of items. Has been immeasurably helpful.
Excellent. Lindsay?
Nice. I was going to say.
That was me.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Oh, sorry.
No, I already talked. So I was first.
Okay.
Shannon, I was just going to say, do the first chapter. Answer the questions, but then don't be afraid to mix up which chapter you have to do first. Some of us have fires in other rooms that need to really, really be put out. So don't be afraid to move around the chapters if you really need to. But, you know, read that first chapter. Do those questions. Figure out what's important to you. And really, when you feel fatigued, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like this really isn't working, I think the pictures help a lot, even if you're not showing them to anybody else. Taking a picture and looking at how your room is progressing. I take a picture every morning and every night when I'm working in a room, and seeing the differences as the days go by makes me feel so much better. And knowing that, when you're tired, if you need a day off, take it. It's better to take the day off than it is to keep that fatigue and keep that disappointment. Some days are just going to be harder than others. Some days you're going to be too busy to get anything done. Forgive yourself and move on. If you hold on to that, it's just one more guilt thing, and that's not what you need. If you can't do it today, schedule a time, get it done, and come back to it, even if it's picking up one piece of paper or putting away one drawer of clothes and fixing that one drawer. Give yourself small steps rather than just walking into a room and feeling overwhelmed.
Excellent. Stacey?
I really can echo everything that everybody has said, but my big thing is it's not going to start itself. You have to kind of find it within you to get started, to want to get started. And the way I did that was I reached out to a bunch of people and said, hey, I need to do this. Who's with me? And I was shocked with the number of responses that I got on that forum. And if you're on Facebook, post it as your status. So say, hey, I'm starting this process of really getting my life and my house in order. Does anybody want to join me? And to kind of echo what Shannon said, you know, everybody is busy. We all have big kids, little kids, no kids, dogs, cats, whatever. For me, I know that if I'm going to say, okay, well, I don't really have the energy. I'm 34 weeks pregnant. I'm 36 weeks pregnant, whatever. I don't feel like doing it today. If I get started on one small little section of something, it's going to feed on itself because you see that progress. Once you take that step that day to put something away or to you know, move something out of your life that you no longer need, you're going to want to do more once you take that first little step. You take a small step and it's going to turn into a medium-sized step. And then once you take that medium-sized step, before you know it, you have an entire room that's pretty livable. And know that it's an ongoing process because you will get the big things done. My hall closet is beautiful. My dining room, not so much because we're not in there. But I know that once we start to attack these little, you know, just little places in a room, it blossoms and you actually make real progress instead of just thinking, oh, well, it's insignificant for me to clean off that corner table over there. Well, once it's clean, it's done. So just get started. However you need to get started. And don't be afraid to ask your friends, family, relatives, neighbors, whatever, to join with you because everybody has stuff. Some people are really good at organizing. Other people, not too much. And that's where the book comes in. It really does help. And like I think Lindsay said, do the questions. They really do. They really help you see how you relate with your environment and your stuff and your family and what your priorities are. And for me, it took knowing that, hey, I just need to be able to spend more time with my family without that stress to know that this is something that's really worthwhile to do.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you all so much for spending this time with me and for sharing all of these suggestions and your experiences with the listening folks. It's been a great opportunity for me and I really appreciate your time and I'm so proud and so so touched by all of your successes and hard work. I'm really pleased that we've been able to share this time together. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
No, you're very welcome. Sorry?
I was just saying thank you, Stacey, too, for dragging us into this.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you, Stacey and Andrew.
Some of us kicking and screaming, right?
Yep. Thank you all very much. And this has been the very first episode.
With the General Workers Union. And yet that they'll never change a thing. Well, they won't fight, and they're not working. Left you on the debris. Now we both know you got the money, and I wonder what you would have done without me.